the truth out. You can't sit here and say you're supporting women's boxing and everybody, I mean, let's think about it. When we think about women, we want them to go with Eddie because he's putting on more women's shows. So we were under the assumption he was taking care of his ladies over there. But now his undisputed champ, he left her out to dry. And then, you know.
Yeah, we got to get Rick and Jess on the show ASAP. Hopefully I hear back from him soon.
She has another tweet here, and Ivana says, so you want to say that McCaskill, as an undisputed champion, is worth only $64,000? People getting more for one title, and it's not fake. Come on.
I mean, no, like I said, she's not wrong. I said in that sense, you know, I wish Eddie definitely came in with more. I think that Jessica more than deserving. And, you know, like I said, you're trying to make a fight at Croke Park in Dublin in front of 80,000 for your lightweight undisputed. But what about your welterweight undisputed?
Ivana comes back and says, Serrano's biggest payday before Jake Paul is 50,000. So it's not about Serrano. It's about who's staying behind you.
I mean, Jake Paul standing behind her. She probably should have.
And that's what she's saying. Don't get confused that it's Eddie. That's what she's telling y'all. She's just airing it out.
Yeah, but I mean, that I think that was just a bad example because, like, Katie definitely got compensated, you know, as fairly
but
as
would
Amanda
Katie
did.
Have gotten compensated if Jake didn't step in to make the fight?
Eddie,
you can't even have the fight without Jake.
Eddie, although I agree with that last part, Eddie's been claiming that was a seven-figure fight. That was going to be the first woman seven-figure fight ever. So, you know, I think he believed in it. I just don't know how much because, like you said, and I probably agree, I don't know that we would have got it had Jake not stepped in.
Not only that, but McCaskill's story is similar to Franchon Cruz. She gets in there with an A-side fighter, an elite fighter in Kaylee Taylor, equivalent to Cruz getting in there with Clarissa. They both lose. They go on to be champions, unify, and undisputed. How
yeah.
do you just drop that?
And like I said, I think it, you know, it is something to do maybe with contracts where, you know, there may be a lapse. Or maybe, you know, contract expiration date. But look, we do have our first guest of the show waiting. So we'll take a quick Kenichi Bear intermission and be right back.
You guys ready? Manager, he need to be advising fighters or something.
Hell no, bro. Because
he keep getting fights, right?
He keep getting fights.
We ready in there?
I'm ready.
For him to get the fight, it's like...
What up, what up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're joined alongside Mickey Bay, who's going to be taking on Tevin Farmer on an Adrian Broner, Michael Williams Jr. card in Atlanta. Champ, you got to feel good going to Atlanta, man. You know, they call that Black Hollywood.
Yeah, yup. Yeah, it was cool, you know, that it landed down there. They got a nice, they got a nice crowd of people that come to the fights.
For sure. And you got to be excited that this fight was able to get off the ground. I mean, you and Tevin have been putting in work to make this happen for some time. You've had a few dates, had a few networks. Now it lands on a big card with Adrian Broner. Are you excited that it was able to land on this particular card?
Yeah, you know, we wanted to fight because we could have both took easier fights. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to do that. Like, you know, everybody wanted to see us still. So me and him just, you know, stuck to our guns and was like, we might as well fight. Like, this has been built up for pretty much almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, neither one of us want to tune up, especially me. You know, he got more years, hopefully. Hopefully I don't end his career. But, he got a, you know, age wise, he got a lot more time than me. So I'm like, yes, let's do it, man. Everybody want to see it. You know, we might as well just get it on.
Do you feel like the time off and the postponements played in your favor, giving you more time to prepare?
Yeah, somewhat. Like, I don't think it'll play a difference in the ring. I did get a chance to get in a lot better shape, but.
Is that from playing a difference in the ring then?
I wish we'd already had fought by now, because I probably could have fought another fight, or, you know, maybe not two fights, but, you know, I'm just trying to make up for a lot of lost time I had in my career and go out with a bang. But, yeah, I guess so. I guess I got to agree with you and say yes to that.
So for you to obviously look at what can come next and, you know, making up for lost time, do you believe that a win against Tevin Farmer brings you another opportunity? Because obviously that's why, you know, the fight couldn't get off because it was so hard. Nobody has major backing behind them. So do you think that a win over Tevin, you know, later this month gives you that opportunity to continue to make up for lost time?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm realistic, so I know I got to take it one step at a time. It ain't like I'm in it to try to become pound for pound or nothing like that at this point, but I know I'm more talented than at least 99% of the fighters out there still. And by me being disciplined, you get the rare athletes that can do that. I know I'm one of them, but I got to take it a step at a time. Like, I can't look too far in the future, but I know I got at least this year and at least most of next year, I'm sure I can, you know, I'm capable of fighting at the top, is the highest level in boxing. At least I can see that far in the future, this year and next year.
How's training been because of how long you've kind of been in camp? I mean, I'm sure you've been able to take your breaks and reset and start over, but essentially you ain't been able to fight since the original announcement of this fight.
That was the only hard part. That's kind of what I meant. Like, dang, you know, it was kind of, you know, and, you know, just to hear what happened, you know, it was a, not to bring it up, but allegedly it was a robbery. What happened, it's like, come on, man, that was just a heist. Like, you know, it wasn't like the fight, you know, the last fight, it was just kind of draining. But, you know, I just said, you know.
We never spoke to you since. Like, what the fuck did happen? Like,
honestly, the cat just kept the money. They had the money to do it. Like, allegedly they just wanted us to fight and was going to not pay us. And they just got, they had the money. I'm going to just put it like that. It was just more like a robbery without a gun.
Cause it wasn't even just show shit. Truck couldn't even get a fight. Cause his opponent was
Cause he wanted, I don't know what happened with his. I think his opponent wanted more money.
Okay.
Or whatever. But man, it was just, you know, it was more so like, man, do I get him all this money or do we keep it and just say, F it, whatever happened, happened. That's pretty much how it went.
So I'm curious because I remember you and Tevin going live together.
Yeah.
To explain the situation. But, yo, was there like a requirement for, you know what I'm saying? Like, how did you guys know they was keeping the money? Because usually the fighters, they get the check, you know, once they step out the ring.
What happened is, you know, I know this from promoting shows. They basically... The money didn't get turned to the commission. They like, oh, we on the way. Now, we know they got the money because we know all of that. But basically, we would have fought. And it's like, man, the money, the bank, we'll pay y'all after the fight, like next week. But we'll pay y'all this much extra. But it's like, once the fight is off, it's off. Like, y'all done already, you know, hit a home run. And it's like, if we ain't getting paid the day of the fight, you could say next week. It was just some.
But how sure are you the money wouldn't have came? Because, I mean, we just seen Regis Prograde go through something like
this. His situation was different, though. That was a different situation. Like, they had to put up, when you win those purse bids, you got to have show the money and this and that.
Yeah, when you win a purse bid, 10% go to the commission.
It was different. Believe me, this
so,
one was different.
So you like, talking about.
No, but I'm talking specifically Regis Prograde's check after the Cepeda fight. He took to social media and was like, yo.
But he got the check, the funds. It was something. Believe
it was more with the bank than
the
funds
the bank.
Not
no,
being there.
Just, Man, long story short, this is just, man, like some man, listen, this is boxing, boy. I can say it I want to say, right? It's
of
some
course.
Nigga shit, period. And whoever from the streets know what that mean. Like, you know, dudes just getting the opportunity and just choosing, you know, to do the not do the right thing. Like, that's just what
that's
it was.
Very unfortunate because
yeah.
I was so excited for you guys with the was it Sprite or Coca-Cola?
Yeah, we,
I know
we,
the
that
same
was,
company.
That was, first.
And we lost a lot of money ourselves because we invested and we did this. We paid a lot of people. So
damn.
It was like, you know, but forget it. I'm just glad that we, you know, we back, it circled back around.
Now, when all this was taking place, how confident were you that you guys were still going to, because I know you guys tried to do independent at one point too. How confident were you that this was still going to happen?
Well, we were confident because neither one of us are signed on any end. So it was just more of us sticking to our word. Like, you can't get a good name fight right now. Like, and it would have looked worse for him if he didn't fight me, to be honest with you. And that's what I love about it, that I'm the slight underdog. I love being in that position because it's like, how would you, you know. He stuck to his word and was like, all right, well, we might as well do it because other stuff was coming up. But it's like, it ain't really, you know, we might as well fight each other. Everybody want to see it. Just because that happened, we ain't want to rob the fans that did want to see the fight. At least now they get to see it.
How easy was it to land on that Broner card? Or did they reach out to you? Who reached out to who?
Yeah, they kind of reached out. It fell like right in our lap almost. Like, man, what's up? Y'all still, everybody still want to see it. Like, it makes sense. I mean, we like, yeah, let's go. You know, it's a new company. We went to the Terrence fight. Actually,
how was that?
Man, I ain't even going to lie, man. It was off the chain, that event. Like, man, I ain't even going to lie to you. I've been in a lot of fights and I'm surprised y'all wasn't there.
It was a lot of fights that day. I mean,
That's probably why not, because I figured y'all would have been there. But I ain't going to lie, I was impressed with...
But impressed with the crowd that Crawford brought out, impressed with the production of Black Prom, and impressed with the coordination and
honestly,
organization
the whole
of
thing,
them.
Honestly, because, like, to me, you know, of course they knew, so, any you know, it could be holes here and there, but to me, what it seemed like is that they kind of, like, it seemed like it was unity there. That's the feeling that I got, like, even with the reporters and the nobody seemed like it was, everybody seemed like, I felt like a sense of everybody being together. Like, it didn't feel like that it was like one person over here. Everything felt, I don't know, the energy was just good, and it made Terrence fight just feel like crazy. Like, I mean, it was his school teachers was there, his principals was there in the back. Like, hey, it was just like a good, it wasn't like uptight.
Right.
You know, some fights, they can be overbearing and this
yeah,
one
nah,
you can
was
move around. They let the media move around. It was
okay.
Like real, it was real good.
No, that's definitely
Yo,
good.
Mickey Bay, I got a listener. I'm so happy. Thank God. I love this show. It's so big. Someone is in the chat saying that you was their substitute teacher for one day or two. Very cool dude. Were you a substitute?
No, unless he talking about me like doing some, you know, speaking or something, public speaking. Where at?
Malcolm. Malcolm, give us more details to know whether or not you know, you're telling the truth, right? That's interesting. But obviously, you know, you've been kind of focused on this fight for a long time. So how do you know you're not leaving it in the gym? That's kind of a phrase in boxing.
Yeah. You actually can. I had to slow down a lot, to be honest. And at this stage, at my age, you know, I do have the youth as far as speed and the reflexes, but you do, it is a difference.
You
know,
older, Mick. You ain't the same. Your hairline pushed back. You got a
good ass hairline. He lying.
No, I ain't gonna lie. No, but talent wise, I'm better.
No. I know. I'm just saying. That's why we asking, because the camp been so long. We want to know about. They don't know about your CMOS. I know. You know, we got to know about the recovery. What's
right,
that been
right.
like?
Well,
because
to me,
you've been around the block, champ. Whether
yeah,
you like it or not,
yeah,
you a vet.
Yeah, true,
you a vet.
True.
You a vet. You
so
got
to
take
me,
care of
yourself.
To me,
it's more like the advantage that I have. I know my body, so And then I trained fighters for the few years I was off. You know, I was training Devin and all them cats. So I know my body, if you know, and that's the advantage. You know. I eat better and I drink a lot of water. And the right stuff is when I was younger, I could eat anything. Even like now I can, because I won't really put on the weight, but I will get more tired. So that's the difference now than back in the day. I could eat cake, snacks, and still I had the energy. Now it's different. Like if I was to eat that, I might not put on a lot of weight, but I will feel the difference in my workout. So that's the one thing I can say that is different. And, you know, I got to kind of moderate a little better. You know, I ain't just hitting that kill switch every day. But to me, you know, it's just a little bit of advantage I got. Just I got a lot smarter upstairs, really.
So I want to ask, why did you separate yourself from the DHP camp? Why not whole camp with them? I mean, Omari's there. You got Devin there. Did you just want to lock in? What was the reasoning? Because you're in DLX, they in Top Rank. And, you know, you guys were like a family, so I figured you'd just be holding camp together.
Yeah, well, you know, I still say we family for sure. It's just at this point, it's just like the end. You know, once it's over, it's over. So I got to give it this last bang and just go my hardest. I threw myself on the deep end, you know. So I know that in a lot of sense, I'm taking the risk. But in a sense, Tevin is too, because he's supposed to win in people's eyes.
Right.
Because he and, you know, but at the same time, you know, I know what kind of caliber fighter that I chose and what I'm getting into. So it's just more so just holding camp, you know, but, you know, that was my guy. So at the end of the day, I know they got, I could see 15 to 20 years in them. So they understand and they know, you know, we still keep communication and, you know, I'm still overlooking and seeing everything that they doing. And I'm still putting game plans in my mind. I know, you know, I already got the game plan for Lomachenko and everything. But I know, you know, they handle what they're supposed to do.
But why not train with them?
You said with them?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard.
You're a fighter.
At this stage, it's kind of hard because you got to put the concentration. It's hard to train. It really, I could, like, say some days, all right, I come in there and they get the wisdom, you know, from me as far, and I get the youth from them. So in that sense, it probably will happen. But Devin did take a little time off before, you know, because he still got a little minute to go with the well, hopefully they do it in May. I thought it was going to be March. But I don't know. Usually fighters just kind of like to, you know, just have their own camp. But with them, I wouldn't mind training with them anytime, no.
I just thought it made sense because you guys had been working together in the past. Tevin's a southpaw. Devin's getting
southpaw. That's funny. Yeah, I did kind of look at that. Like, oh, okay, because I didn't think they was going to fight at first when I was seeing. I know Devin wanted to do it in March. And then, the Ramadan thing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I saw Lomachenko saying that he needed more time or something like that. But Devin is competitive. So I figured that, you know, hopefully it'll get done on Lomachenko's end.
So who's been out the ring more time, him or you?
Who? Devin or me?
Yes.
The good thing is almost the exact same time, me probably a couple months. And I'm glad because, like, my last fight, I was off three years, and Kambosos was busy. So that wasn't to my advantage. But that was one of them things that I was just jumped in there 4 weeks training to try to hit a home run. I almost did it, too, because he just edged me. But I feel better that Tevin been off too, you know.
Yeah.
This time he been off as well.
Yeah, your layoff only like a month more. So
yeah, it's like a month more.
He fought the month after you fought Kamboso. Yep. So,
so what type of work are you getting? Or is at this stage of your career is more about preparation and not sparring?
Both. Yeah, I've been getting so much work throughout the year. It's like, man, like, you know, I done boxed probably hundreds of rounds. So like y'all said, I did kind of had to step back some and, you know, because you take punishment just training. You beating on your body. Y'all know that because y'all work out a lot, you know, the running and the hitting things, and that's still punishment.
Absolutely.
So, I'm just being smart, man, and I just know I'm going for all the marbles. Like, I'm coming to win, and I'm going to do my best to, you know, turn that clock back.
Now, some might laugh at me for saying this, but Are you using Paul? Because he's slick. In his prime, Paul Spadafore was slick as hell. I know you're training at DLX.
Yeah.
Tevin is super slick.
Mm-hmm.
Did that make sense, or is Paul just, he's already trainer?
We actually have moved around and stuff, and that's my guy. You know, Paul is, man. Matter of fact, shout out to Paul. I got to give him his credit because me and you always talk, Danny, about, you know, we when we get into it, we bring up the you know, I'm real, when it come to teachers in boxing, you know how we get into that.
I will
say Paul is a teacher. Like, Paul know the game. So, you know, Paul, I've been sparring with one of his fighters. He got a good southpaw fighter. I moved around with Paul once or twice.
What's the name of that fighter?
He from Bulgaria. I don't want to slander his name, but I'm going to give Paul his credit and say that I think that he going to be one of the best teachers in the game.
Mm.
Like, so, you know, if any young fighters that's looking, that's serious, because he no nonsense, though. I'm going to tell you that, because he got that old school in him, but Paul definitely knows his boxing, though.
For sure, for sure. So, obviously, you know, Tevin, he's been hard at work for a minute. I've been watching him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been hard at work. What's your thoughts on how he will look in the ring? Because we haven't seen him since the JoJo fight, and there were some rumors that he suffered some issues there medically. Do you think he's going to come back 100%, or does it not even matter because that's his problem?
Yeah, I see it like that. I'm just kind of a crazy dude when it comes to fighting. So it's just like, man, whatever he come with, I just got to come better. I know it's not going to be easy. So I'm just like, man, I just like doing stuff like this. Like, this is my version of fun. Like, man, throw yourself in the fire and just try to overcome it. Like, I know in his mind, he like, man, I'm going to beat this cat, put my name on his resume, and I'm saying the same. I'm like, man, I beat Farmer. I can go ahead, knock me another 2-3 out and just be done for good and stay on the business.
When you say knock you 2 or 3 more out, do you mean that, like, figuratively, or you think the version we're going to see in the ring is going to be a knockout version of Mickey Best?
Yeah, to be honest, because...
Well, you've been calling for the knockout since this fight was announced.
Well, I'm going to be honest, though. Like, winning is, beating him is a good, you know, you could never promise a knockout. But a lot of years when I was fighting, I had hand injuries and stuff like that. So people didn't know I'm a puncher and an aggressive fighter, too. I just had to fight. The way my career fight went, I had to fight according to the best I could do at that time, whether a fight came up in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whether my hand was hurting. I kind of had one of them old school careers. Like, even though I was with top promoters, man, I just, you know, was fought at any given time. And I had a lot of hand problems. So I think my time off, it got a chance to heal. I wasn't able to really turn them over properly. And I was that kind of guy that always would have fought anybody. You know, when I got hung up, y'all know my story with, you know, when I was with Mayweather, you know, not shooting no darts or nothing, because I do credit, you know, the Mayweather family a big part of the reason why I'm still able to fight at this age, just from what I learned from them. So, but, you know, management didn't go so well, so I wasn't able to fight the Linareses and those guys that I wanted to fight when we all had belts together. But the one thing I knew I could control is myself. So instead of, you know, thinking in the past and worrying about this and that, I'm like, okay, well, the thing I can do is stay disciplined on my own and just keep it together. And, you know, the situation with Devin was kind of, it was a blessing too, because that sharpened my mind even more. Like, you know, overseeing them is even different than fighting. Training to me is harder than fighting, as crazy as it might sound. It's a harder task in my eyes than fighting.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, you turned trainer for so long. Have you allowed someone to train you, or are you self-trained for this fight?
Yeah, I got trainers. Good trainers.
Who's working with you?
I got Kevin Henry, my guy Will, my guy B. You know, they good trainers. But at the same time, we kind of all working together. Because, you know, I know, like we was talking about before, I know my body. I'm not a kid. So sometimes we kind of just sit at the round table. But I trust them. You know, they good trainers. So, yeah, I'm a student. First, so, you know, I'm always teachable. And that's how you got to be. You got to always be teachable with anything you do. So I've never been the kind of person that, to me, I feel like I've just, you know, it's funny when you're younger, you think you know a whole lot. I always forget how young Danny is because he's one of them real mature cats that,
mm-hmm.
that's young like he is. But to me, when you get in your 30s is when you really start really feeling mature. I mean,
statistically, that's what they say. 29, 30 is when men start thinking of marriage and buying their first home.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. Like, in the past, I'd say 5, 6 years is when I felt like, dang, like, I really, it's just something that you get. I know you could speak, probably vouch for that, Ness, but, yeah, so I learned a lot mentally, and just every year, it just seemed like I'm learning and just seeing stuff, you know, that I would even do different, you know, training or boxing or whatever.
So, champ, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a couple of these fights out there for you. Like, if you win this one, have you noticed that Jermell is back training? Heron? And he just posted, like, yo, I'm going to take my time. But so I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to pull up the actual quote. But he's like, I'm going to take my time. But, like, I love the sport, basically. It's like, no matter how old fighters get, this is what y'all know, and this is where you feel comfortable is in that ring.
Sean Porter last month said that
he might come back to 160.
I think he should. That'd be my advice to Sean. Me knowing Sean, a lot of people don't know this, but we went to elementary school together, me and Sean. But that'd be my advice to him as a trainer, like, go ahead and come back. He always been a beast, you know, at the higher weight. I would come back at a higher weight if I was him. But you were saying, dude, Jermell would be more like a – to me, Tevin is a, if I was to beat Tevin, that'd be a step back. No disrespect, because I like Jermell, but that'd be more like if I was to lose a fight like that
to
Tevin.
How you going to say that when Jermell been fighting at the higher level recently?
No, what I'm saying is if me beating Tevin, I'm trying to go up, like, you know, because it's going to take, you know, it's going to take a good performance to beat Tevin. Like, Tevin to me is more talented than Jermell. Like, this ain't no disrespect, because, you know, Jermell's a dog and I like him, but we seen how he went out and why he stopped fighting. I didn't stop because I got beat up, you know, or nothing like that. But styles make fights. Like, to me, I don't write people off just because they lose. That's the problem to me with boxing today. Is fighters scared to take the risk because they think of the backlash. That's, people don't know, but that's why a lot of these big fights don't happen. Because a lot of guys overthink if they lose, what's going to happen. Like, am I going to get through in the garbage can or what? And I don't think people realize that, but, you know, when I was coming, it wasn't all this social media and stuff. So, but now it's like people worry. Like, I just seen a clip. I'm sure y'all saw it. And I ain't even going to say his name. I seen a dude get knocked out, right? You never know how this stuff affect dudes mentally, like, you know.
Yo, and then they announced today, which I've heard for months and we've talked about it, but that come out, what, yesterday or 2 days ago?
Yesterday, yep.
But that shit come out yesterday, and today they announced he getting a title shot at 140.
You see what I'm saying?
And I'm talking about the full-blown joint. I'm talking about
the real deal.
And this was crazy. Now, this is smart for whoever made the business move on the other end, but it's like, man, now how confident will the guy that got knocked out be going into the fight? But you got to take those kind of opportunities. You can't turn down a title fight unless you, like, at the very top, like the Tanks and the, you know, and the Devins. And
I got to ask you, at this age, are you sparring like that? Like, I'm new to Vegas. As you know, I just been out here almost a year, and I'm from the East Coast where I feel like they work in sparring. I feel like out here, it's a fight. And that's why the person we talking about was getting scraped up off the floor, because they fighting. They not teaching or trying to learn. And so for this camp, are you fighting or are you working with
dudes
people?
Dudes come to fight me, but I got to tame them, though. But yeah,
that's
no,
crazy.
Cause they like, you know, and that's the thing too, what I think with the guy that got knocked out, he
why
the
you
kinda,
gonna say his name?
He the kind of guy, well, shit, fuck it, roll.
I'm just saying, I mean, I don't give a fuck. He got me blocked.
Yeah, you
really
don't care.
Oh, yeah.
I care.
He's getting
knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, I did this on y'all platform, but I don't know if y'all wanted me to say it, but just, all right, just saying that, see, he the kind of guy that people want to see this happen to, though. Now, I like Rolly because I met him, and I know that he just be trolling, and he a young guy, so I look at myself as like a mentor. I ain't, you know, going to kick a dude when they down or nothing, but a lot of people laugh at
him. I just told you he got a title shot. He ain't down shit.
You see what I'm saying?
But, he ain't down shit.
Yeah, yeah, but no, that's financially.
I mean, as far as his mental.
But
like,
exactly. He talking
him,
about
him.
Where he at mentally.
Yeah, because people going, but sometimes
right,
you bring
right,
stuff on yourself, though, because if you the kind of guy that troll other people, because do you think that you got to look at a guy like, would they do this if this was Devin Haney?
Shit, I ain't post that or repost that because I'm going to be honest.
Yeah,
I
ain't do it either.
You know, I ain't think it was right, the fact that it come. Like, yo, he the biggest fighter they got now.
Mm-hmm.
He is the biggest fighter they got now, and it's coming from the Mayweather channel.
Yeah, yeah, but it's a doggy-dog world
in
there,
though.
Yeah,
but we
got
to be clear. The Mayweather channel is not the Mayweather channel.
No.
The Mayweather channel is fucking Jeff Mayweather's channel.
It's a doggy-dog world over there. I know that from when I was trained in there. Like, you get clipped. And they, or people at least going to go talk, because you got to think. How the word got out when Earl was giving Floyd some good work, people kind of just overdo it. And I was there for a lot of them sessions. Like, you know, sometimes people, you know.
Yeah, they say he gave Floyd a black eye.
Oh, he might. It's easy to get a black eye, though. Like, you know, but I do credit Earl of giving Floyd some of his best work that I ever seen. Like, but it wasn't, you know, like people were saying, but it was like to where I automatically knew that Earl was the truth for sure, though. It was one of them type of things. But yeah, sparring out in Vegas is like, you got to think, it's kind of like a dude trying to get on. Like, if you go into battle rap, like, oh, if I beat him, you know, and I'm sure, you know, we already know the cat that got knocked out as a troll. Because imagine if this was Devin or Tank, he'd have been all over it. So that's the one thing that fighters can't learn.
Bro,
sometimes.
Did you see the reaction of Coach Otis?
Yeah, that's my man. So believe me, if he did that, it was something behind that. Because that's my guy, Otis. Like, I knew him, you know, for over 20 years, and he been a part of my camp. And, you know, he don't just do that if it wasn't before. It must have been like a...
some talking.
Yeah, it was some major talking before that, because Otis the kind of guy that he ain't going to just do that.
I got to see John spar. I was there for that, and I was there for some other shit. I ain't know he was that good, because I seen other shit happen.
No, and you know what's crazy? Bro, I've heard about him because obviously he used to spar Floyd. So, you know, I've seen him in the gym. I know his trainer. He trained like an animal. And then he had an exhibition on Floyd undercard, and he didn't impress.
Oh, who, this guy that knocked off?
Yeah.
What weight is that? He looks smaller.
He is small. I don't know. He's from North Carolina. He's from North Carolina.
Knocks you out with six, maybe Tank. See, now that's one of them things to where either maybe he didn't recover from his last knockout. Or
damn, you think he still ain't recovered?
No,
champ, the country didn't recover from the fucking pandemic. He ain't recovered from the knockout.
Hey, I'm going to be real with you, man. Like, sometimes fighters either never recover or they need more time. Or sometimes when you fight a puncher like he fought, your screws can be missing. Because anybody could get knocked out in the sport, but it's a different when it's just something about when you get them screws knocked.
So you don't think he should be taking his title shot?
Yeah, he got to take it. Yeah, I think because he might still have a chance to win. I ain't saying, because I'm going to be honest with you, every fighter got beat in the gym. The gym is one of them things to where, you know, you might have been up all night. You might have been, the gym, you could have that one off night. And,
hey, I ain't going to lie. You right, because I sort of got, I just saw somebody get touched up recently in sparring.
See what I'm saying?
And then they see me in the gym the next day. And he was like, yeah, champ, you know, I was fucking all night.
Oh, I was thinking,
you know
sure.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was like, in my head, I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Not that I promise you, Mick, I really didn't give a fuck.
Right.
But I did wonder. I'm like, were
you
really?
Oh, no, that's
really?
Sick in fighters' or, mind. Because,
you know what I'm saying?
Because, like, I've seen,
and you know,
I've seen the best of them spar, and I've seen everybody lose sparring sessions. Like, literally, the only person...
Which one sticks out to you the most?
When I used to train at the Detroit Kronk Gym.
Mm. Who was getting fucked
Man,
up
it was
in there?
Dudes that, it was just like the fact that people that was like the best gym fighters I ever saw was there. Like if you could have had the Showtime cameras in there, you would have thought that some of these dudes could beat Mayweather. Like, it was guys that was so good in the gym that you won't even remember their names. Like, but you could bring the Delahoyes and they get their asses whooped. Like, you hear about stories of, oh, man, he just – but you wouldn't be surprised if you seen this guy spar. Like, you know, and But Vegas is one of them kind of places, man. It's the capital of boxing. So a dude going to try to get you. Like, just say Canelo came out here and sparred. Dude's getting ready for the sparring session like a fight. Canelo not. Canelo chilling. He might hit something.
He's playing
the night
golf balls or something.
Yeah, he ain't worried about it. But this dude that he's sparring, man,
trying to make a name for himself.
He might be praying all night. Like, man, I'm trying to make a name.
No, you ain't lying, because I mean, I see it, bro. I'm in the gyms every day. I see it.
And
like,
that happened to me. That's like when you mentioned, like, am I fighting and sparring?
Bro.
I might not be, but dudes coming for me. Like,
yeah.
The young dudes are, like, oh, we trying to. You
look,
know,
make a name.
Yeah.
They want
to,
quote unquote, test where they are.
Yep.
And I get all that, but I don't know. It's weird. It's like, how can you work on things if the dude is fighting you?
Oh, the bigger name you got. Oh, these dudes trying to, you know. But and that's one thing I learned being a trainer is I watch out for my fighters just for the fouls and the low, you know, like they can hit you in the back of the head or the low blows. So, yeah, it's crazy like that, though, man. This dude that was calling me all around the world, like, to spar with Devin Haney, and I'm like, I'm not going to just let you get in the ring with him. I mean, literally dudes from different continents. Like, hey.
Oh, no, nah, bro, trust me. I've seen somebody pushing flights back just to get a couple rounds
in
with him.
Yeah,
you
see what I'm saying? Now, that stuff, you got to be kind of like, even though you know Devin going to do his thing, I think on the other side, too, like, all right, what if Devin might hurt him, and he might try to hit him with a rabbit punch or something crazy. So
no, it gets dirty in there,
yeah,
bro. You know how many low blows I see behind the head shots?
I'm conscious about who sent you and who, because, you know, we know what kind of game this is. But, yeah, Vegas is like being on American Idol or something. So dudes trying to – I've seen top other fighters get knocked out, too, out here. I mean, believe me, it's everybody caught their bad day in sparring.
So the gentleman's name in question is John Ingram from North Carolina.
That's his name, okay.
But I'm going to see, can I find
whoever
his
he is,
got
to be a puncher, though, for sure, because either that or either that or shit.
I ain't going front, I ain't know he was a puncher. I seen him spawn with Carmel.
Yeah.
And Kevin.
I've been seeing a lot of his stuff leaking, Kevin Johnson. So that's another one of them dudes out in Vegas to wear, because, you know, I used to spar him all the time, and he is one of them dudes to wear.
Yo, but that's the Mayweather gym.
Yeah,
shit.
Like if you pull up, a dude will be like, they might not even throw a top guy at another top fighter. They'd say, go ahead, Kevin, because they know they don't know Kevin. So he might get in there and get out on, just say, like a name a top fighter. He might
Tank.
Get out on him. Yeah, because
a lot of rumors that he put hands on Tank.
And because Tank don't care, like, for sparring, he might just that day be working on one thing. You know, because Tank, from what I hear and what I see, he's not one of them guys that's like a dude just trying to really perform in the gym. He could probably get you out of there. I just seen him get some people out of there. But Devin is probably one guy that I, when the whole time I was training him, he never lost a sparring session.
So Ingram only has three fights.
Three fights?
136.
Damn.
135, 133. San Antonio.
Have
San Antonio.
Have dude responded to that knockout yet or what?
No.
I mean, all this just happened.
So, Danny, you say he got a fight made that quick, huh?
I mean, it was in the works.
Yeah, it was in the works.
But that was probably
I'm saying the announcement came out today, like an hour ago, and all I'm saying is that video came out yesterday.
So that was probably the deciding factor. Oh, yeah, we'll take this, but it's. See, them kind of shots sometimes you don't recover from like that. Like it's a difference on how you get hurt. That looked almost like the fight when he got knocked out.
Tank was a counter left. This was more like a roll left.
He threw a bad shot. That was what I call unsafe. Like when I train fighters, I always my best thing for them to do is don't do nothing unsafe. Like don't throw a punch that's easy to counter. That punch he threw damn near looked like it was a hood shot.
Mm.
That was a street, like, I don't know what he was trying to pull off, but, I mean, hopefully hopefully it don't affect his fight.
Right.
So, did you lose hope that this fight would get put on, and how did it feel when Black Prime approached you?
Did I lose hope? I didn't really lose hope because I probably would have moved on, but it was annoying because I'm like, man, I trained hard as hell. I went through what y'all just said, all these young dudes trying to kill me and running all these miles. I'm like, you just pushed off almost a year a year for me is different at this point. I'm just like, it's just a blessing in that, yeah, that Father Time didn't kick in. Because, you know, Father Time could just shut the lights off and say, mm-hmm. hey, you was good a year ago, but that, all I was giving you was a year. So I'm glad that nothing like that happens yet, but I was kind of disappointed in the fact that, you know, I was super sharp, especially in that Arizona fight, even more so than Dubai and all of that. Arizona, I was on point. I was ready, like, oh, yeah, we finna let it loose. So I'm ready to let some shit loose. But, yeah, the people at BOK is pretty, you know, it was kind of easygoing conversations and stuff like that. They knew, so it's still, you know, up-and-coming company. But they, you know, they pretty down-to-earth people. So, I wish them success of longevity because this game is, you know, it's kind of hard longevity-wise.
Mm-hmm. And obviously they came to you guys, correct, you know, two veterans, you know, so I'm sure you guys wouldn't have took the fight if they weren't taking care of you guys properly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, they definitely, you know, everybody kind of been hearing, you know, what kind of, but, you know, sometimes, that's why I say, I wish them the best because, you know, I knew plenty. I've been in the game a while and seen a lot of promoters coming in heavy on the front end. You know, kind of just more like me and Tevin kind of, we businessmen. So, you know, we help out in certain, we helped out a lot. I'm going to just say that, like, you know, we'll be able to really chop it up with y'all after
for
the
sure.
fight. But they good people. That's the main thing that we like. We're going to get them a shot. It's like if y'all was promoting, you know, I know y'all cool. And mm-hmm. it's like, man, it's a big fight. You know, we understand what kind of money they putting out. We understand that, you know, even though, you know, we getting paid, you know, it's cool. Everything is good.
What are some of the differences that you are experiencing in training from, you know, back in the day, like, and some of the changes that you had to make because you're an older person or, you know, things have changed, like you said?
One thing I could say for sure is, I'm way smarter mentally now, even though my body, I like back in the day, you know, I can go hard 5-6 days straight. Now I might be 3 straight, so that ain't bad. But mentally, I'm way smarter than I got an advantage in up here than the younger fighters because it's like, and then even be training help for me just overlooking from the outside. But I think that I learned more now, like on like stuff like nutrition and just because I used to think like, okay, I'm healthy just because my weight not ballooning up, but that's not the case. Like you can be as skinny as a rail, but got on the inside is different. So I kind of know now like that you do have to still eat better and stuff like that just for even like not on to throw it off top, but even in the bedroom, it even matters. Like, mm-hmm. you know, at a certain point, you know, whatever you eat and what you put in your body, it's almost like a car.
Yeah.
You're not going to put no BS gas into a Lamborghini. So I got smarter in that sense. And I always kind of been, like, mature and, like, I ain't do a whole lot of partying ever. So I think that's what kind of, like, saved me and stuff like that. But
that'll keep some years to your career, too, probably.
It did. And that's what I always try to tell fighters, period. Like, whether they my fighters or not, it's for the greater of the good to give younger guys advice just for our sport. You know, you want to keep the young guys around the longer, the better. Like my hometown guy just broke the record yesterday at he a year younger than me. We came up together, LeBron James in mm-hmm. basketball. So that's one thing that he does, man. That dude, he stuck from beginning to end, man. This cat, it's just crazy to see like how he stuck. You know, seeing him and knowing him and from when he was, like, poor, it's just crazy to see, like, dang, like, he just stuck straight through it, man, because most dudes from back that way, they don't stay that focused, but, man, he kept it all the way together, and that's one of his things is keeping his health together. Like, he, you know, real disciplined.
He say he invests, what, like, $1.5 million into his body each year?
Who?
LeBron? Wow.
And I believe it, man.
He says that's how much he spends, like, obviously –
cryo and shit.
Yeah, like you must say, like
yep, all of that stuff. Yeah,
that's a fraction to what he make too. So they ain't nothing.
Yeah, and it's crazy because you have to provide this for yourself because as much as money as even an NBA make, they still drinking Gatorade and all of that. Like
yeah, but I mean those facilities are top level. Obviously, a guy like him, he bringing you know, a lot of that to his house to make it convenient.
Now, that's what I learned. You got to do for self. Like, you can't, like, and, you know, that's like I said, I don't blame, you know, what happened is what happened. Like, when it come to Mayweather and the promotion, just boxing, like, I don't blame and cry and pout about what could have happened and this and that. But I look at what I did learn on the good side of things and things that I could have did different and did and do for self. Like, you got to know what kind of situation you in boxing. Like, everybody got a different path. Like, to me, people mess up by looking at the biggest, every fighter look at the biggest people and look at that one path and say, I want that. It's different strokes for different folks.
Yo, and not just that, but even when you look at that one path, you know, the one path that comes to mind first and always first is Floyd.
People,
but here's a problem, yeah. Right? Here's a problem. They don't look at the path. 100%. They look at money. But what before money was Pretty Boy.
100%. They don't look at that.
This is the first time a lot of these motherfuckers is seeing Floyd with here.
100%.
You know what I'm saying?
Listen, they looking at the money. Like, me seeing them transition to that, like, personally, literally, in the living room. Like, man, I'm about to change my name. I'm finna do this. That sounds, like, crazy at first. But to see that transpire and how it just shot to the moon. But he believed in himself, but he did for self. That's one thing that I learned. Like, I might, when I tell my story, of course, Mayweather promotions will come up in it. Like, the shortcomings going to always be there. But one thing I did learn from Floyd, you got to do for self. Like, Floyd might not be the best promoter for somebody else, but if you really learn from him and say, I'm going to take myself and just, Floyd is good at he always been real good at knowing himself, like, what he's good at and what he's not. That's why even his fights, he knew when to pick the fight. Not saying he wouldn't have won them at any time, because I don't see nobody beating Floyd at any time. But when I matured and got older, I'm like, dang, like, you know, one thing I should have did more is do for self, like, just because they wasn't doing stuff. But, you know, you expect a promotional company to mm-hmm. do more. But that's one advice that I could say for fighters, do for self. But you can't be unrealistic in thinking that, oh, this guy made that. You can't count somebody else's money, or you can't. It's different strokes for different folks. One dude might get $3 million for a fight. You might get $500,000, but you got to look at where you started. Like, all fighters started from the hood. Y'all know, y'all, you from the East Coast, you from Chicago. I'm sure this shit that y'all doing now, y'all could be getting, just say y'all getting $1 million a year, but y'all won $5 million a year. It beat Chicago and it beat where you from.
Hell yeah.
So you got to kind of look at stuff like that. And these fighters now got spoiled looking at, you hit it on the nose, they looking at Money Mayweather. You looking at the richest athlete pretty much in history.
Dan, hold on. Then it's like, bro, before money was Pretty Boy, but before Pretty Boy was the Olympics. Like, do you not understand?
Going through the fire he went through. I trained with his dad my whole career pretty much. And I've been with that family. Man, listen, for you to get through that fire of Big Floyd back in the day is hard. Like, believe me, where Floyd is at is no mistake. His father was so strict. That his father's like somebody that, like, even De La Hoya said it out of his own mouth in his book when he was saying that, man, the reason why he loved Floyd, not only from what he taught him, but it's time Floyd cussed him out and walked out the gym. Like, man, it's a wrap. Like, I don't care how much I'm getting paid. Like, if you don't do stuff my way, his motto was my way or the highway. It's time that I'm training with his dad. I want to throw up. He don't give a damn. Like, man, come on, you doing this today. You wearing these boots when you run.
What?
These hand weight. Don't bring them tennis shoes no more. Floyd had to go through that since, like, a kid, a little kid.
Boots?
You ain't listening. That's one dude that he just one of them no-nonsense dudes that you're not even going to question. You're not even going to question him. Cause
what he's saying, right.
What he's saying, because you damn near going to have to fight him. Like, it's time. One time I missed a run, I remember. This is one day. I missed a run. Man, my voicemail was filled. He was going off in my voicemail. I'm like, damn, I almost ain't even want to see him later on.
Cussing you out.
He like, man, what the fuck, man? But he gave me a pack, and he know, like, I know you probably just overslept or whatever. But I'm like, damn, like, even fighters now, like, they do one day a week right in the mountains. I had to do it 5-6 days a week with Big Floyd. Ain't no 4, ain't no 3. Nah, you doing this. Meet me here at the Mount Charleston every day. And we sparring 2 hours later. He don't want to hear, oh, I'm tired, or, oh, why are we running? Oh, I got a strength. Wasn't no strength and conditioning. He was the strength and conditioning coach. And it wasn't no quitting. Like, oh, you going to do these many pull-ups. You're going to spar this person. Somebody could just walk in the gym. Like, oh, we doing this. And that's how Floyd came up. So I think that that's what helped him be able to adapt to anything, because his pops is just one of them dudes.
Man, these motherfuckers ain't doing none of that.
They ain't doing none of that. Now, when I'm training, that's why I couldn't
fool. Mick, you right now, you training at DLX. Out of all the fighters, obviously you training because you got your fight coming up. But out of all the fighters you see in that gym, how many of them training like Devin?
Oh, nobody training like Devin. Like, the only person.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, bro, it's like when it comes to that top level, we see it all the time. They're not putting in the work.
Nobody
like
even training like me. I'm going
to
be honest.
But that's what I was waiting a chance to ask. It's like, being as though that you've trained Devin, trained alongside Floyd Sr. and Jr., you have to know when you ain't giving it your all.
Oh,
like,
me,
you have to know when you cutting, when Mickey Bay is cutting corners, because you've seen the top.
Yeah.
You know, on both versions, you've seen the top young in Devin, you've seen the top in Floyd. So is it safe to say that Mickey Bay knows when he's giving it 100% and when he's not?
Yeah, because Devin, like, I ain't even going to lie to you. I couldn't keep up with Devin in training. Like, not every day. I can do his workouts, but I couldn't do it. Devin can do it every day. Like, he just a freak. Like, even the kids can't do it. Nobody his age, you're going to get less than 0.5% that can really work with him every day. He just got that gift. Like, me coming up my whole career, it was only a handful of fighters that I saw that really had that gas tank. And I was always one of them, but Floyd, dudes like Floyd, Devin, Andre Ward, like, that was one dude, Andre Ward, that damn near probably could have made the Olympic track team.
Mm.
We was on the Olympic
That's
team together.
That's how fast he was.
We was on the Olympic team together. Every day I'm trying to catch this cat. And to the point, I'm like, man, fuck it. I just can't. This dude just fucking Jesse Owens
damn.
Or something. Because we got everybody else way back. Like, you know, most of the people was like, I'm trying my hardest sprinting. And this dude just like, but this is what people don't know. Like, Andre Ward was damn near like a man, that dude is like a featherweight in the light heavyweight
body.
He fought light heavyweight in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. He went up in weight. He wasn't even a real light heavyweight. He won, but you only get a handful of guys like that. And I could see it from afar, like the Shakurs, the Crawfords, Spence. It's easy for me to see, like, you know, even a person's mentality, whether they're gonna go through that type of work or not. You, Boots, Jerron Ennis, you know, you went out there,
mm-hmm.
and you saw. It's not a lot of fighters that's willing to do that. They want the money and they want the rewards, but they're not going to put in that kind of work.
I got Sarah Afina from New York saying, give my love to my brother Mickey. She's happy for you. She's watching the show and obviously wishing you success
on
your fight.
What's up, Sarah? Congratulations, too. I see you got an old girl that title fight Saturday.
I know. Title fight ain't even a word. That was
undisputed.
Yeah, undisputed.
I was just telling, you know, we talked about her on the show, and then we had Adrian Clark, and I was telling him about her, like, she be making moves.
Oh,
that's my girl.
She put
people in situations, man.
Yeah, that's my girl right there. Yeah,
she
goes
definitely
super hard.
A move maker. Yeah, Mick, man, so, I mean, I remember, you know, you, me, Danny, and Bill talking, and you was adamant about this knockout. Has things changed?
Hell no, you ain't here?
No, it ain't changed, but, you know, like I say, it ain't like just an easy fighter, you know, from what people say, hard to hit. Like, you know, we'll see when we get in the ring. I'm coming in to win. Like, you know, I can't really, but I'm coming to fight for sure. Like, you know, we ain't going in there to ballerina dance, like, you know, so. You know, I know I'm going to have to bring the guns out. He don't want to lose to me, I'm sure. You know, this loss has set him way back, and that's all I'm planning on doing. So we both stubborn. We both express to each other what we think face-to-face, like at the press conference. You know, he thinking that, oh.
Y'all
know,
was too friendly for me, Mick. I ain't going to lie. Y'all was talking knockout talk, and then y'all was real good friends.
But shit, we got 50,000 on the line, though. So that's
what y'all making a bet?
Yeah. Oh, we bringing that to press conference. See, a lot of people talking, they don't deliver. Well, me and him honestly are.
You bringing? Hold on. Is it 50 total? Or you bringing 50?
No,
and he bringing 50.
We betting 50 apiece.
So the winner taking 100.
Yeah. No. Well,
winner
yeah,
takes
I get hit.
Right. Yeah.
No,
50
so, so
yeah,
here goes
50
a
and
thing
50.
In boxing, right? People do all this talking, but they never fight. Me and him are friends, but that shit don't mean nothing in the ring. Like, because he coming to hurt me, I'm coming to hurt him. So we, us being friends, made it easy to make the fight. Look at all these other dudes that claim they don't like each other. They act like they scared to fight.
I
got to
ask who stopped it at 50, because, you know, it's always guys trying to outdo each other. So who stopped it at 50? Because I'm sure, like, yeah, we could bet money. Shit, what you want to bet? Shit, we could bet whatever. Shit, I got what you got.
Yeah.
Shit, bet your purse on it. Because I know how the shit goes. So
yeah.
How'd I get to the 50? And what,
honestly,
and what
it was
number?
Lower. I think
yeah,
it was,
I know,
like
it was
30.
Lower. Yeah, so who? Okay, oh, yeah. So yeah, I started at 30, all right.
Damn, who did? I think, well, he said some shit about, oh, I should have stayed in retirement or something and kept. So I'm like, shit, I picked this fight for a reason, because I think I know I could beat you. So it's more like, you know, him thinking that I think he a lick and he think I'm a lick. So that's what makes the fight good. He a lick to me, period. So my thing is this, like, I hear a lot of dudes talk all of this shit and they not fighting. We fighting.
Bro, that's, yo, I ain't going to lie to you, Mick.
I can't believe you think he's sweet.
Bro, he ain't sweet at all.
I mean, bro, that's what a lick is.
That's what a lick is.
No, what I'm saying is this, though. Like, man, all right, look at it like this. All right, me beating him, I could get boom right there. Maybe I could pick up a vacant title when Devin move up, fight one or two more and then retire. Maybe I could fight a couple big fights. Going off of y'all's thing, y'all know boxing. Y'all and the fans would say, okay. Based off how Mickey looked, we want to see him fight Lomachenko. I know I got to earn that.
Top Rank call you. You beat Tevin. Top Rank call you this summer. Like, yo, Mick, we're going to give you 10 weeks. We got the youngin', Keyshawn Davis, for you.
No, I don't want nothing like that. That's kind of like, I ain't.
That's tough.
No, but I'm saying, like, it ain't really.
He top 10 in the ring.
Backwards for you?
I ain't saying it's backwards. He a talented fighter, but like.
He like number 7.
I'm fighting. If it was for a belt, I'd do it. Yeah, but I'm saying.
Interim?
I want to fight
you
dudes
need,
that.
You need the full joint.
I don't know. It depends. But I'm the kind of dude that'll fight anybody. But at the same time, I'd rather get another dude, like a, you know, another top fighter. But off of my, I'm going to have to, I'm saying.
A
bigger
name.
What you think about Jermaine Ortiz? You ain't like Jamel. He the one that beat Jamel, gave Loma a hell
fight,
of a fight.
But them ain't the fights I'm really looking for. Not saying I wouldn't fight him.
You're going to have to drop a name.
No, I want to earn this. I want y'all to see me fight and say, all right, damn, he wasn't just blowing smoke. Because I got to prove myself. I got to go in there. And,
yeah. You
and
really
got
to prove. You really got
fight.
To prove. You called him a lick, man.
But
I ain't going to lie.
Sure. Oh, hell yeah. Ooh, I ain't backing off that. Like, he think I am. He like, oh, shit. This dude coming out of retirement, he think that. I gave him the A side. He probably going to be the one that walk away. I don't care about none of that. At the end of the day. I ain't them UK dudes he was fighting that couldn't get around all that slick shit he do. Nah, I got some slick shit too, and I'm throwing them hammers. So at the end of the day, people like, oh, y'all cool, how this fight, man. That, listen, me and my brother chipped my tooth in sparring. When we used to spar, we had to stop sparring. That's my brother. Look, I don't care how cool me and Tevin are. I ain't coming in this shit to lose. Like,
why Cortez do you like
or,
that, man?
And it was crazy too. It's a long story. He ain't do it on purpose, but, man, we used to go at it, and we brothers. But at the end of the day, I don't want to lose that extra 50. It's enough for me to be like, man, fuck this, like, you know. And he don't. But in his eyes, he's like, oh, damn, he older. I'm looking at it from his perspective, how I would be looking at it. But at the end of the day, when you get in there, Mike Tyson said it best. Everybody got a plan until they get punched in the face. I got to prove myself and come back here. And y'all could say, oh, damn, you know what? I want to see you fight. I'm hoping that it's good enough to where, you know, I want to put it down to where y'all say, you know what? All right, Devin to beat Lomachenko, but we want to see you and Lomachenko. He older. He's still a dog and an animal. But y'all both got skills. You got a lot of heart.
Yeah, for me to say that, Mick, I love the shit out you. But you need to beat the shit out of Devin for me to say something like that.
Hey, look, we seen his last fight. What happened when dude wasn't scared of him? See, I know a lot about the mental part of boxing. See, I knew dude was going to give him a tough fight.
You're talking about JoJo?
Nah, I'm talking about Lomachenko.
Oh.
That kid wasn't scared of him.
Yeah,
you mean Jermaine?
Yeah, that kid wasn't scared of him. See, that's a big part of it, that people build up people so much. And that's why I can't do it with Tevin. He might come in there like Sweet Pea. But at the end of the day, I got to fucking knock him off his square. He ain't going to do all that comfortable shit with me, though. I've seen him do it to, them dudes over there don't know how to get around that. Them, you know, them guys he was fighting, the dudes from the UK and stuff. no disrespect to him because they world championship fighters, but I'm saying Tevin got a difficult style. So that's why people like, damn, why you want to fight a dude with this type of style? Like, they got, like, shit, why not? He tanking all them ain't realistic for me right now. You know, Tevin is right there. Like, shit, he's saying don't nobody want to fight him. I want to smoke. We made it. It was easy to where we can hop on the phone and do it. But it's like, all right, we put money on the line, too, because you think it's sweet. Like, oh, you shouldn't be. You should have just stayed. All right, shit.
I mean, you think it's sweet, Mick. You said he a lick.
Oh, no, he definitely a lick in my eyes. Like, he going to have to prove me otherwise, man. I know he going to get in there trying to do all that little, but, hey, I'm coming to fight, though.
What's your thoughts on Frank Martin? Have you watched his last
fight? I think
he's
a good fighter. I wish boxing was like the old days, man, where dudes like him and Keyshawn to fight now.
Mm.
But, see, I think both of them got a lot of heart, too. But a lot of dudes, man, it seemed like not those two, but it seemed like a lot of dudes don't want to lose early. They're too worried about what the social media think and the people think. And I would like to see some of these fights early. But, like, to me, fights like that should happen, you know.
Did you see Austin Schofield
fight?
Well,
I know him from, you know, being out in Vegas and sparring with some of my guys and sparring with guys like Devin.
Okay, but that was a while ago.
Yeah, I've seen him. He young. He must be some years younger than them, huh? Because he don't.
No, I don't think so. I think.
He around the age, Keyshawn and all of them.
No. I mean, I think.
He's only 20.
Yeah, 20. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see him on their level. Like, you know, he work hard and maybe in the future, but I don't know what happened when dudes get on social media because him and his pops cool people. And it's like, you know, it's time when I'm training.
I mean, they doing what you just talked about 10 minutes ago. They self-promoting it.
Nah, I can't knock them with that, but you can't call people out. And then when the smoke comes, you don't do it though. Because one of these dudes like a Keyshawn, I think if I'm mistaken, was it one of them that was like, all right, like,
yeah,
let's
definitely,
do it.
Definitely Keyshawn said yes, but Top Rank ain't sent no offer.
You could talk, but don't backpedal when the smoke.
I don't think either one backpedal is
about
the promoters sending that offer.
I don't think Keyshawn will because Keyshawn kind of knows, like, dude still ain't ready for that kind of level yet. Like, he could probably be a good fighter in the future.
Shit, Keyshawn about to fight Emmanuel Togo, who fought Ryan Garcia last year.
Yeah, like, you know, like, dude was saying that, you know, with Devin, you know. And I, like I say, what I meant by social media is, like, they good people out the ring. But, like, I was there. You sparred with Devin when I was training. And you saying that you got off on Devin. We sparred with one hand. This when everybody found out Devin had the broke hand, and he still did what he was supposed to do by big time. Like, you know, so it wasn't, I understand people want to get their publicity, but lying is different. Like, you know, you can't just lie and say that you did something when people was there. But other than that, you know, I like the kid and his father, but when you take that big of a leap to say you did something with Devin, like, you know, I was training him and Devin never lost a sparring session the whole time I was training.
Mm. That's crazy that you say that. I'm working with a trainer, and I've heard him say that. Like, yeah, me and So-So, we undefeated in a fight and in sparring. I'm like, I'm telling you, out here is different, bro.
Oh, it is. Dudes coming.
Sparring is a
but
fight.
See,
they're counting
see, here
records.
Go the problem that you run into, though. You get gym fighters that don't turn it on in them fights. So there's difference with them 8 ounces on and no head.
And the lights.
And them lights. Like, you could, I mean, in the gym, like you just said, when dude was like, damn, I was fucking last night. Man, dudes ain't taking every day. But the sparring partners, they already flying to Vegas. Like, oh, I want to spar with Hank or Devin or this person, that person. They waiting to just say, even if they hang with you for one round, they going to go out and say, oh, we beat him. We beat him. But nah, like, that's one dude I could say never lost a sparring session. It's Devin.
Now, at this age, do you have to run the same amount of miles? Because I hear some fighters say, you know, not getting exhausted in the ring is more mental and experience being comfortable. Or at this level, now you've got to put in the miles no matter what, how old you are.
Yeah, I still put it in, but I got way smarter, just period. Even for my younger guys, I would know. Because now I can look back and say, dang, what really made a difference when I was their age? Like, I could still, because I'm not too far off from you know, their age. Sometime when guys in their 50s, 60s, you kind of forget completely. But I remember being in my mid, early 20s and all that, so I could say, all right, did this make a difference or did that make a difference? Sometime fighters do things that don't – my thing is a lot of fighters do stuff that don't make a difference as far as ring performance. Like, my thing always been, what's going to make you look good in that ring? Like, you could do all this fancy stuff, throw a ball up there, throw one over there, catch that one, come – yeah, that might be cool, but it's like at the end of the day, I'm still an old school guy. Like, you know, I still like the old school stuff. But it is – the new school is smarter when it comes to, like, the nutrition part, the recovery part, but – I like the old school style of training because when you think about it, Danny, what era was better? The old school from the 80s, 90s, and down or now? That tell you right there how many good fighters was even in the top 10 and 20 back then that couldn't win a belt. But nowadays, dudes more focused on the strength and conditioning more than the boxing gym. Like, to me, that's backwards. Like, these dudes are do all this fancy stuff in the strength and conditioning, but they not on their boxing game. They not getting teachers. Like, y'all not really, y'all just getting coaches that y'all want to be able to tell them what to do. And that's why I couldn't full-time train today. It had to be the right fighter. Like, okay, Devin, all right, this Amari, like my guys. And I couldn't just, for no amount of money, I couldn't train a guy that just want to do it because they just want money and the social media. And like, nah, this got to be old school.
So are you looking forward to going back to training, or you got to keep scratching this itch till it's gone?
Well, I'm going to get my itch going, but, I mean, I'll work selectively with a couple fighters. Like, y'all might see some huge stuff pop up in the next – after this fight. But, nah, not full-time. I ain't even going to lie to you. Nope. Because it's like being a parent, a psychologist. It's crazy. Like,
no, it is.
Listen, my hat is off. Any trainer that's listening, any trainer that ever helped me, I want to thank them because you don't know how much work trainers put in. They get paid last. Not me, but most trainers get paid last. They get jerked over. Because trainers, the only ones that don't get contracts. The manager, oh, they getting theirs off the top. The promoter, the trainers. Man, I know many trainers that tell me they ain't.
Why is it like that? Why does the trainer have to get paid from the fighter? Why can't he get off the top too?
I ain't sure, but I know when Big Floyd was training me, it wasn't none of that. You gonna be fighting him if you don't give him his bread, he right there on you. I never had that problem, but I seen him have to steal on dudes and everything.
What?
Oh, if you owe Big Floyd $100, he coming for his money. But no, trainers, man, they like, and I didn't know that until I really trained it. Not for me, because I got, you know, I got paid good and everything and taken care of. But I'm saying it made me go back and look and have more respect for the inner city guys that come up training the youth. And I'm like, man, they did all of this shit for free. I'm like, man, they deserve a damn, like, a, you know how y'all get to check the army checks. And I'm like, man, some of these trainers deserve them if y'all went through all these headaches. So you got to think of the kind of kids you got to deal with when you coming up, man. Like, you training dudes that's and I even told my dad that I was going to bring him here too, but he was doing something. He in town. He came up training me and was the head trainer at our Cronk gym back in Cleveland. But no, training, man, is a whole nother animal. I ain't even going to lie to you. I can't do it full time. If the special fighter called me and I think that we had meshed, I do it, but other than that, nah, I'd rather, you know, be on the business end, like, the, you know, advising or promoting.
Well, speaking of advising and promoting, let's get into that, because I know Danny feels a certain way, and you and I seem to be on the same page. Gilberto Ramirez is going to be taking on Gabriel Rosado. The fight is not being met with a lot of love from the fans. They're not happy that Gabe, who started at 54, is moving all the way to 75, but I feel like Gilberto started at 60. What's the difference? You know what I mean? Gabe just got the win over Beck the Bully. In my opinion, he beat Daniel Jacobs. I mean, it's not a bad fight. Ramirez is coming off of the loss to Bivol, and he ain't look good at all in that fight.
All right, so basically what you asked me, basically.
How do you feel about that fight?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think Danny right when it comes to the opponent, but for me to see this cat, Gabe Rosado, man, listen, he might be one of the best self-managed. I don't know who advised or managed this cat, but man, this dude, he stay in so many big fights that I think that people just happy for him when they come to like, dang, I don't know how many times he lost. Boxing the sport to where when you lose
16 losses.
You kidding me. I thought it was like
losses.
10 or 9. So a dude with 16 losses.
Ain't won in 2 years.
So a dude with 16 losses is still getting these kind of situations and paydays and still got his marbles, you know, is just crazy on that end for me to see. And you got to be happy for him for that. But as far as, like, who would want to see, like you say, he didn't win a fight in 2 years and going up by heavyweight, this dude damn near like a giant. Like, I think more people would rather see a harder fight, but I think Rosado might give him. But on paper, you can't really knock the criticism because the weight class, the size, and he fought Bivol. But Rosado was like a dude, like a wild card. You never know. He might come in there and give him a tough fight. But I'm just impressed with his self-management.
The way he moves.
Yeah, like, it's like, damn, this dude, he living it up. I'm like, shit,
he's staying a good
fight.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. I'm concerned for his health in the fight.
But
like
see,
this. Bro, like, you talking about where
Who has Ramirez killed?
Bro.
Ain't even kill Angulo, and I ain't talking about Ferro.
Bro, but he
you
bigger than Gabe.
You talking about weight, 175. Dude,
Gabe ain't no like heavyweight, bro. And I know you gonna say where Sudo started his career at, but bro, he is a true like heavyweight right now. He moved up because he could not make that weight no more.
Yeah,
all that. He moved up because that 68-pound division was very crowded with the fucking Benavidez and the plants.
Yeah,
and Canelo.
Yeah.
And the Callum Smiths, who just moved up 2 fights ago. No.
What y'all
he
think
was
about,
with Top Rank. He wasn't getting no
do
real
y'all
fight.
Think that tank? What y'all think about
right,
that
so
tank?
It wasn't the competition because every guy you named was a fight that he wasn't
going to
get.
You don't
get.
Think they was trying to cross-promote? Do some Googling. They was trying to put him in fights. They always wanted
you.
To put him in
they
a Golovkin fight.
They couldn't make the fights. He can't make 68. You know what I'm saying? Which is why when he fought Bibble, he was the bigger
I'm
man.
I'm riding with Gabe, man. If Golovkin couldn't knock him out, Beck the Bully couldn't knock him out, and he's safe, bro. You a veteran fighter. Do you think you know how to not be knocked out?
Easy with me. But see, I only lost a couple fights, and they were slim. But Gabe is durable, and dude, but I see what Danny's saying because the weight, like he a giant dude, look like an NBA player. That don't always mean. But Gabe is so much of a wild card that you can. I think if this one went bad, then it might be like, okay, you either go back down or call it a day and just say, you know, you pretty much, you know, you hit the jackpot a lot.
Mm.
But is that Tank and Ryan? Like, what's up
Uh-oh,
with that?
Oh, we got to go back to Rowley. Earl just tweeted, that shit was lame. What the fuck coach doing getting in the ring, jumping up and down and yelling, celebrating a sparring KO? No class, laugh out loud. Then Ryan quote tweets that, Garcia, and he says, I agree. I didn't like that. And they both don't fuck with Rowley.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. Did they say this under the video or what?
Yeah, on a tweet, yeah.
See, they don't – I know Otis. Otis not going to do that unless there was some major shit happening before that sparring session went down.
Mm.
You got to think, like, if a dude, it had to be a whole lot of trash talking and something crazy going down before that. Otis ain't going to celebrate. No, he didn't see it at all. Dude was James Toney's sparring partner. Like, he came up with the Mayweathers back in Michigan. He didn't see it at all. I think that it was damn near like one of them situations. Like, I ain't going to say it was some money on the line, but like a friendly bet. Like, oh, this dude.
So you don't think it was just the fact that his youngin, you know, did that to the known fighter, to the name?
That too. Like, I mean, it was like a crazy reaction, but he didn't know it was taped. And I think he just got caught up in the moment. But I get Otis to pass because, man, I know Otis. He a good dude. And he an old school cat. He ain't one of these dudes that's doing nothing for clout. Or I think he just got caught up in the excitement. Like, he Otis one of them cats that love boxing, the boxing gym damn near than anybody I ever saw. Like, So I get him a pass on it. And the person that it was, too. you got to think of what happened before that. I that's how I could imagine it happening. But it's Otis. It ain't like it was no clown or nothing like that. Like, but if Floyd was there, that might have happened too. And I don't think people would have said nothing to Floyd. Floyd then jumped up and down when people, you know, y'all done probably seen
right,
Floyd.
Yeah, yeah.
Ain't nobody going to say that to Floyd, though. So, but Otis, I think, is worthy of giving him a pass. Like, if it was a clown, yeah, I get it. So I can't knock them. I can't knock Earl and Ryan because they might not know Otis. Like, Otis is the OG. So I think that it was some shit talking before that session where he
tried. I had trained like a week over there, like a week ago for a whole week, and that's how I got to see a lot of the spawn. And they talk.
See,
I don't know about before, but like when they in the ring, they talking shit. Trainer's a trainer, or the trainer is talking to his fighter like, fuck him up. Yo, shit, you know what I mean?
Oh, man, yeah.
So
I could
see it getting... Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Some animosity.
Because it might have started like, look, he can't spar with him. Oh, he can't fuck with Rose.
Yeah.
He's too little. He can't spar. Bam, we'd knock him out.
Because
it go the other way.
Because John was sparring Moulton, Carmel, and Kevin. Those are smaller people.
Yeah,
that's a whole different weight class. Rolly, Rolly sparring today got to be 160, 150.
Yeah.
He ain't no fucking 35er.
Right. So you got to think, like, you know, yeah, but Otis, you know, Otis, I can get him a pass. It probably was just, you know, caught up in the moment.
You know Scooter Davis?
Scooter.
From our Headbangers out that way with DC, nah?
I know all the Headbangers, so I got to know
him. He ain't new because he been there, shit, at least 7 years, but he was an amateur. He just had his pro debut. Nah.
Oh, how he looking? He can fight?
I mean, I followed him as an amateur, and he got a knockout his first fight. He's grown into a man. He looked pretty big now.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Just wanted to see if you knew him because, you know, he's new to the game and in terms of the pro leagues. And, you know, we want to stay up on all the hottest and greatest fighters, make sure they get their shine. But I think that's all my questions. You got any more?
Nah,
actually, I do have one from the people. Let me see if any others came in, though. We put out a post.
Any fight you looking forward to, though, Mick, to watching as a fan? Yeah.
Yeah, man, to be honest. I'm looking forward to Tank and Ryan if it happens, you know. I'm looking forward to that.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but they just broke news that, what's his name? Chris Mannix officially said that DAZN is not going to budge. They put too many millions into Ryan. And if they can't get the rematch, they not budging. That's a non-negotiable issue was the words he used. Plus, Danny reported that the powers that be are reporting that Ryan's team and DAZN have already reached out to Regis Prograis for a possible WBC at 140. What's your thoughts on Ryan moving to 140 full? Because, you know, this fight with Tang was going to be 36 and taking on Regis, who's a dog.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. To me, I question if Ryan could really even make that weight. It's the difference with hitting that number and being effective. Anybody can hit a number, but fighting at that weight is different. I take that fight, but Ryan and Tank just got a whole different thing. I think that those two would bring like that Mayweather weekend vibe. I don't think it's been a fight like that since Mayweather retired, to where, you know how the Mayweather fight weekends was. I was thinking they could sell out that Raiders Allegiant.
Yeah,
thing.
I said the same shit. That's what I was pushing for.
Yeah, I think that I'm looking forward to the Caleb fight. Is a real good fight, Caleb and Benavidez. I'm looking forward to Devin versus
Lomachenko.
I'm looking forward to hopefully Bivol and Better Biev. Hopefully they can fight.
Yeah, it's not looking like that's happening yet either. Buatsi looks like he's getting the shot at Bivol, is what the reports are. I got one question from New York City. David Maldonado says, what's up, champ? Who wins in this fantasy fight and how? Plus, please break down the styles because you're an expert. Prime Macho Camacho at 135. The version that beat Jose Luis Ramirez. How does he do versus Vasyl Lomachenko?
Dang, that's a real good matchup. He definitely a real hardcore fan. Man,
Damn, how good was Prime Macho? I thought, like, Macho was good.
See, to me,
I'm not a history guy.
Yeah.
So, like, from I'm 44, man. So watching Macho as a kid, you know, like my impression over the years was like he was a showman, he was a star, but he wasn't on the elite level.
See, it's that style that he named. Like, styles make fights. Like, Lomachenko, that fight to me is a toss-up because I don't see that style giving Camacho a problem. He was fast as hell, and he put them together.
Mm.
Like, if Lomachenko do that little spin, he going to catch, like, six of them. But at the same time, you know, see, I've been studying Lomachenko for Devin for years now. So it's a lot that, you know, that I see, you know, flat out that, you know, I see Devin doing, but. Dang, that was a good matchup. Like, I don't know. That fight can go either way because, to me, Camacho is a better offensive fighter. He was so fast. I might get him the edge by split decision, like, in his prime when he wasn't, like, really. I might have to get that to Camacho. I don't think that he would have had time to really get set and do the stuff. See, Lomachenko got a advantage nowadays because him and he's a nerd, what I call a boxing nerd, like in a good way. Like him and his father and this, they got it down. Like they got it to where if you're not really old school or really got something mean, you ain't gonna be the dude like him because he got it. He a real good fighter. Lomachenko is a special fighter, but Camacho he came from the 80s in that era to where it was different. Like I don't know. I would call that even a draw. I think that might be a draw. I can't even pick a winner for that.
Well, all right, Mick. Those are all our questions. We want to thank you for coming in and obviously talking some boxing with us, helping promote that fight. And we wish you the best of luck, man. We hope that you go ahead and I can't say get the win, dog, because I fuck with Tevin too.
Hey.
But I wish y'all both.
Hey, I put it like Tevin had that.
Tevin gonna hit me. I'm like,
hey,
what up, my boy?
Bring,
you want him to win?
Bring that 50 cash, man. Listen, bring that 50 cash and. I want to thank y'all. I always have fun on the Boxing Voices. Y'all know boxing. You know,
appreciate
I like doing
you, man.
It, you know, because y'all know the sport. And make sure y'all tune in to BOK Prime pay-per-view. And it's going to be a good card. You know, Broner fighting. You know, he looking for, you know, to get
redemption.
Back on track. You know, I'm looking forward to him doing this thing and getting back, too. And,
is that an option?
Nah, he heavier anyway, but...
I mean, he 140, allegedly.
Nah, I'm a real natural lightweight. Like, I ain't moving up. Like, this is it for me. But I'm rooting for Broner because, you know, I talk to him and I do feel that hunger in him that he had back in the day. Like, where he does want the Regis's and hearing the names that he won, I'm like, okay, like, damn, it's the Broner that I like. You know, that old Broner. Like,
hopefully we see that.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, I'm sure he's going to do his thing. He down there in camp with Kevin. When they get together, it's usually, you know, they usually do pretty good together.
Well, champ, go ahead and shout out DLX's schedule and address. You know, get Trudy some traction since that's where you're training at.
Oh, yeah. It's DLX. I know it's on Fort Apache.
What time is the gym normally open?
It's Summerlin. It's open pretty much from, well, usually it's slots. So I know it closed at about 6, but right now you got me, you got Caleb in there training. So I would say probably at about 3 to 3 and on.
Okay.
And after, you know, after the Caleb fight, you know, it should be all the way back open.
All right. Well, Mick, make sure
Caleb got that shit shut down, huh?
Yeah, he working, man. You know, that's an underrated fight. It's a good fight. I can't wait
to
see
that fight.
That's
a great fight. $1 trillion dreams, PBC Showtime, staying away. I'm sick of this shit. First Crawford and Spence, now Tank and Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Now, y'all see, I forgot to even name that. That's the fight I'm looking forward to is the Crawford. I ain't even named that fight, Crawford and Spence. Yeah.
I mean that because they letting us down.
Damn, man. They got to make that happen.
Word. That shit, like
but
new Mayweather.
Make sure to give out your social media.
Yes, sir.
Let the fans know where to keep up with you.
I'm on Mickey Bay Eternal. And I'll be back. I'll be back on Boxing Voice right after the fight, man. So
I plan
to come back looking like this. No black eye. Well, I can get a black eye. It don't matter. But the win is the win, you know. Make sure y'all tune in. Hopefully I can inspire people. This is a tall task, but hopefully it'll make people say, damn, I'm scared to go for this. To open this business or to go. But if you don't try, you're not going to, it's 100% chance you ain't gonna do it if you don't try at all. But I'm coming to win 100%. So make sure y'all tune in and watch this fight. Watch us, you know, watch me get this victory.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Catch us tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here, Breakfast Club of Boxing. It's the Boxing Voice. I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs, joined alongside Ringwalk Danny.
We out tomorrow
and
morning,
we appreciate
6 a.m. Nikki
Bay coming in.
Peace.
Yeah, he's already done. This is the 14th one he's done.
Oh, for real? Oh, okay.
He's been on East Coast.
Oh, that's cool.
Other places.
Yeah, Dad, you drunk? Like 75? For real? God damn. You need to be fucking. Okay.